This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Kuhn, and we'll have updates from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. Syngenta Crop Protection President Vern Hawkins expects to see improvements with the supply chain in the new sales year.
However, we know that there are a number of areas where constraints will still continue. Some of that's driven by known raw material issues in certain classes of chemistry, corn herbicides, chlorosinamides being one of those. And so we think it's important for retailers and growers to look at their portfolio individually at an AI level or a product level, because there will be some that are more in free supply and others that are not. And so customer plans are still going to be critical, you know, both with supplier to retailer and retailer to grower, to make sure the intentions are visible.
A year ago, farmers were concerned about product shortages and wanted to take possession of their crop inputs as soon as possible. Hawkins says that is not happening at the same level this fall. In many cases, crop protection products were purchased a year ago and held over for the 2023 growing season. That's a different dynamic for the ag chem companies.
There's more inventory being held by retailers and more inventory being held by growers than normal. We think most of that inventory is probably at retail, but it's hard to know, to your point, because we still don't have great visibility of inventory once it leaves the distribution warehouses. So that's something that we're encouraging our retailers to do, you know, very visible, active planning with us and our teams, so we can at least build the information that they have into it from an inventory perspective.
Logistical issues and a significant increase in raw materials has resulted in higher prices for many products. Hawkins anticipates another year in this current cost cycle.
Supply chain headaches and product shortages were a reality the past year, but CHS President and CEO Jay Debertine does not anticipate similar problems for the 2023 growing season.
Right now, we don't see it with some of the same circumstances that we saw last year. It is unpredictable, but we feel good today about our ability, and given our size and scale, that we can source the products we need and have it available.
CHS Country Operations is prepared for a busy fall fertilizer season, but weather is a consideration.
With the drought conditions that some areas are facing, you know, that it's going to be interesting to see how the fall application of fertilizer kind of finishes up, because some people may just kind of pull back with the dry conditions in terms of application. But it has been going good for fertile application, a lot sold, some going down, but we just got to see what the next couple of weeks for moisture-wise play out.
North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network Director Dale Richardson does not expect above-average snowfall this winter.
Well, my current forecast is for winter to be average or below. You know, it goes back to what I just said about November average. You know, it's not a perfect exact, but it's very, very close. North Dakota as a whole in western Minnesota averages from November through March, the next 5 months, the same as we average in the month of June alone. So that's just a testament to, yeah, it might be 50 inches of snow, and we had to shovel that. But there's not a lot of moisture generally in there. So it will, like you said, come down to next spring.
Richardson says the spring outlook is still a bit hazy, but he says there's a chance active weather may move into the upper northern plains.
Springs and falls are the toughest to forecast long range because they're transitional. I've already been working a lot on my next summer forecast, and I really think next summer is going to be drier than average again. It's next spring that I think the severe weather season is going to be active in the southern plains next spring. Can we get one or two of those storms up into the northern plains? That would alleviate a lot of our problems. And that's the little tricky part of forecasting long range in the transitional seasons, are that it's harder to pinpoint exactly a storm or two.
Minnesota Farmers Union is calling for the establishment of a grain indemnity fund in the 2023 legislative session. Global Processing Incorporated filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in late October, and farmers who have not received payment for grain or had grain stored with the company's Hope, Minnesota facility are being encouraged to file a claim with the state Ag Department. However, the state only requires grain sellers to have a $50,000 bond. Minnesota Farmers Union cited grain elevator failures in Carlstead, Ashby, and Porter, where farmers received only pennies on the dollar. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Election Day is this upcoming Tuesday, and the president of the Russell Group, Randy Russell, says he expects some close and significant races to be decided by rural voters.
I think it could be very, very decisive in these toss-up races where you may have a Democrat, moderate Democrat, running in a seat that has a sizable rural population. Also in some of the key Senate races in states like Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, I think, and even in a state like New Hampshire where the race is tightening, I think the rural vote could prove to be a deciding factor.
Congress will be back for a lame duck session following the election. Russell says a lot still needs to get done.
And there's a lot of important issues are going to be dealt with, including the Defense Authorization Act, funding the government for the rest of the year because we have not passed the funding bills for the 12 federal departments, including USDA. So that'll be on tap. And then I would suspect, particularly if the Senate it may change control, if that were to happen, I think you would see Majority Leader Schumer keep them here quite a while to try to get as many federal judges put in place as possible.
The bred cow and feeder calf market remains strong in north central Minnesota with ample forage available. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittenman has more.
Feeder calves and bred cows were selling yesterday in Bagley, Minnesota at the Bagley Livestock Exchange. Owner Billy Bichel says a strong hay crop keeps demand for both high in north central Minnesota.
So I expect to be a very strong demand on bred cows and bred heifers up in this region because everybody's got so much forage and hay. But it also does reflect on the feeder market. There'll be a lot of interest, and there has been a lot of interest locally on a lot of these lighter calves, the 300 to 600-pound calves for people to take back home and background and plan on marketing then after the first of the year towards spring.
Bichel also says, as we've seen in the past, buyers are paying big premiums for calves with the right vaccine programs.
The proper vaccinations are important, so not just any vaccinations. You kind of need the proper vaccinations and the right program. But it's been a very, very important deal, and most of the buyers, they're laying out a lot of money out there for these calves, so they want the right ones. And so it really does pay to have a good vaccination program in place. And if a person's going to wean the calves, which is a viable option for most people because they've got extra feed, it does look like the future looks pretty bright for these feeder cattle.
Bagley Livestock Exchange hosts regular sales each Thursday. Reporting Agriculture's Business with the Red River Farm Network, I'm Whitney Pittman.
Fort Pierre Livestock Auction owner-operator Brian Hansen says western South Dakota is still struggling with moisture.
There's kind of a two sides to when you ask about pastures, because as you drive through South Dakota as well as neighboring states, you'll find areas that did catch moisture and actually had a pretty decent year. And then you might go 3 miles, 5 miles, 10 miles, and all of a sudden even the road ditches were brown this summer. So it was real spotty. And that was followed, of course, by severe widespread drought the year before. And so some of these guys just did not get healed up. And then other places, they did catch moisture and got some hay put up and some feed. But I guess we live in the Midwest, and Mother Nature is king, so I guess we learn to roll with the punches.
Canadian Food Inspection Agency inspectors finding a fourth case of potato wart in samples from Canada's Prince Edward Island. National Potato Council CEO Cam Quarles says this latest find reinforces the need to add additional mitigation measures. Quarles says there is no remedy for potato wart.
Potato wart is one of the most insidious diseases that you have for potatoes. If you look at the experience of another Canadian province, Newfoundland, they had potato wart get completely out of control there, and effectively it is a no-fly zone for potato production. It is incredibly difficult to eradicate, if not impossible. So it is something that's why we are so committed to keeping it out of the United States. You do not want this disease.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Inflation affects consumer spending, especially for high-cost beef products. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has the story.
Beef supplies are holding right now, but Kansas State University Ag Economics Professor Glenn Tonser says the supply of beef will more than likely tighten.
But the short punchline would be is you need to know the margin in your business, not just the sales price. So we are seeing higher cattle prices, and we expect to see higher cattle prices in the next 2 or 3 years because the supply of what we're offering to the market is going to be lower, which is what you're alluding to. But that itself doesn't say anything about profit, because the cost of running a cow-calf ranch and the cost of running a feed yard are also higher. Feedstuffs are higher, labor costs are higher, and the like. So the inputs for running a business are up. Even if your output prices are going up, if they're not going up faster, you're not getting ahead despite the fact you have more money on the line. So it's a pretty complicated situation. So here, I'm 42. Anybody my age and younger has not lived through this rate of inflation.
Tonser says demand for beef will probably decline with inflationary prices.
You know, there is the risk, and we're seeing some evidence of it as we speak here early in November, that consumer demand for some meat proteins is declining because their budgets are being pinched. So we're already seeing some of that before the realities of tighter supplies hit the market. Because we don't have limited, you know, there's plenty of beef on the market today because we've pulled cattle forward in response to the drought and other things. Your question is getting, you know, looking forward, right, over the next couple of years, we are going to have less domestic, particularly beef, available on the market. And that probably will lead to some consumers being priced out of the market.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
U.S. fresh potato shipments totaled nearly 6.6 million hundredweight in October. That's down more than 6% from last year. In the Red River Valley, wash plants shipped 255,000 hundredweights of potatoes last month. That's 12,000 hundredweight less than a year ago. North American Potato News says the October shipments are the smallest on record. Production was up in the Red River Valley this year, but shipments are off to a slow start.
Checking those markets, we have green on the screen. We're 12 higher for Minneapolis wheat. The December contract at 9.55. Chicago wheat for December, 11 and three quarter higher. And KC wheat, same contract, 13 and a quarter higher. The corn market, 3.5 better for December at 6.82 and three quarters. March, 3.75 cents higher. Soybeans for January, 14.52 and a quarter. That's 15 and a quarter higher. March priced at 14.59 and a half. That's 15 and a half cents higher. As we check in on the farm calendar, the North Dakota FFA Foundation has its first ever Blue and Gold Gala coming up tomorrow night in Fargo. Again, a new event with the North Dakota FFA. Also on the schedule, we see the U.S. Canola Association is getting together for their autumn board meeting. That'll be in Arizona. It'll be starting Wednesday of next week. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.